We have another caller on line three. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good night to you all.
Good night, sir.
I was listening to y'all's show, and what bothered me is this. Y'all talking about the Bible, right?
Yes, sir.
But no pastor from no church calling to support or to call just to give their comment, right? You only hear them when they talking about the government or they trying to sow a seed. Right now you talking something positive. You're opening the airwaves for anybody to come and talk, and no pastor from no church calling, and I'm a sinner. No pastor from no church calling to say, well, look here, we have an issue or we will support y'all, with what y'all saying. But the only way they'll call or the only way they'll be on a talk show if they talking with the government or they want to get publicity by whichever way, or they want sow, or they have this trend now where they say they want to sow a seed now, and if you want to contribute to the ministry, then you'll get blessed. But that's all I want to comment and say. But y'all doing a nice job.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right.
It has always been the philosophy of Turning Point Ministries to not to be too much concerned about what necessarily other people have to say and do. Our job is like the scripture admonishes, to take the gospel into all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. And that is our goal at Turning Point Ministry. But we understand what you're saying, brother, and, you know, that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes you have to be the lone one crying in the wilderness. And so we accept that challenge and we take that on and let God be the glory for whatever things are wrought from that.
As a matter of fact, talk about the lone one crying in the wilderness. I remember that story when Elijah's on Mount Carmel. There were 451 prophets on Mount Carmel. He was the only one on the Lord's side. You believe that? I mean, we're living in that time today. I mean, we got ministers of the gospel, on just about every street corner, and they're preaching the gospel. And I wonder, is it the gospel or is it another gospel? Because I know, you know, many times, you know, me and Brother Julian, and we had an opportunity to meet with many ministers here now, so we begin to ask them to give an answer for what they believe based on 1 Peter 3:15. And, you know, and they can't give an answer. Or they refuse to give an answer, or they don't want to talk to us because we are of that faith that they think is peculiar. Well, it is peculiar because God called it peculiar, you know. And as a matter of fact, the Seventh Adventist Church, which we are members of, and we're not paid nor sent for by them, the Seventh Adventist Church on the record is the most fastest growing church on the earth today. The record would reflect. And the question I ask people is: if this church is so fanatical, if this church is so different, if this church is so strange and so odd, how come it's growing so fast? We're not paying these people to join. Some of them just reading their way in to become a Seventh-day Adventist. They just pick up their Bibles, and the story is told, this young man and him and his wife decided, honey, we're going to study the Bible this year. And they begin to read and read and read, and they, I mean, as soon as they get to Genesis 2, they came across the seven-day Sabbath. They decided, hey, we're going to keep the Sabbath. You know, and what happened is he went to the lumber store to buy some lumber, and when he went to order the supplies, the gentleman said, we have a shipment that's going to be on a Saturday. The gentleman said, no, it's not going to be on a Saturday because me and my wife dedicate our lives to on Saturday. We're not going to work on Saturday anymore. And so the gentleman said, I guess you must be a Seventh-day Adventist. The gentleman said, Seventh-day Adventist, who are they? He said, well, they worship right down the street here. And based on that gentleman is a Seventh-day Adventist today. So the Bible is clear that once you read and study to show yourself approved, the Lord will take you places where you never dreamt. The question is, are we ready for the challenge? Remember, like I said, no rebellious people are going to be in heaven. As a matter of fact, 1 Samuel said rebellion is witchcraft. So, you know, you always talk about the Obeah man and the Obeah lady, but 1 Samuel says if you are rebellious, if you are stubborn, you are practicing witchcraft. That's 1 Samuel chapter 15, if I'm not mistaken. So the question needs to be asked, are we as behemoths practicing witchcraft tonight, being rebellious? You know, we're having prayer meetings on every side. But, you know, Proverbs is quite clear. If we should turn away our ear from hearing any of God's laws, our prayer is an abomination to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He will not hear our prayers. And that's why he said you must repent, confess, give your old life to him, and he will empower you with a new life so you can walk upright today in which we live.
You know, we wouldn't ask anyone to say which church it is, but, you know, I would really like to know from some of the callers what their church actually teaches regarding the doctrine of once save, always save. You know, is that something that your church leaders or that your church teaches or upholds as a particular doctrine? You know, what does your church teach, and What do you believe?
Well, but remember you talked earlier about studying. And one of the things I know is that when we talk to many people, they all are studying the scriptures. But they come up with different ideas and ideologies. The fact that we're talking about this subject tonight, about one saved, always there, is from a group of people who say, we get this information from the Bible. So what do you say when people say, I'm studying? How then should they study so that they will be in tune with what the Word really has to say?
How should they study?
Yes, I can't put it no easier way.
Well, I firmly believe that, but pardon me, let me back up. Before we begin to study God's Word, we should pray and ask Him for guidance as we study, you know, that His Holy Spirit would be the leader and guider as we go through His Word. But I think that one other thing I think that is important is that when we study, we just try and study the scripture by itself, for yourself. You know, you don't need a book or a novel written by anyone or any particular Bible commentary. You know, just let the Word of God itself, you know, be your guide. Because the Bible itself, Jesus Himself says that, you know, His Word is a light unto your feet and a lamp unto your path. And I truly believe that if we study the God's Word for ourselves without any outside influence and just asking Him to lead and guide us as we study, that He will indeed direct our path and lead us and guide us into all truth. And one of the things that I'm taken back to is the situation in the book of Acts with the apostles. You know, there was discord among them, but when they came together and they started to pray earnestly, the Bible says that, you know, the end result was that they were on one accord. And I truly believe that if we study this Word for ourselves and, you know, let go of all those things that we were taught of before, any past traditions or, you know, any movies that may have influenced us or any novels or whatever may influence us, whatever the pastor may be saying that he's holding on strongly to, if we study this Word for ourselves and let the Holy Spirit be the true guide, I think that we would all be on one accord and all come to that same point of belief. There wouldn't be any disharmony, any disjoints, any one set of folks believing some stuff over here and another people set of folks believing some other stuff over there. I think there would be true unity.
Thank you. Our telephone numbers are 242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number for those of you in the Family Islands. That's area code 242-300-8255. For those of you who want to call us from New Providence, you can call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. We'd like to hear your comments or questions that you might have on the topic that we're dealing with tonight. Pastor or no pastor, we'll accept all your calls and all your comments as we look at this topic tonight of once saved, always saved. We basically finish our first hour and we get into our second hour. Our last hour, we'll be going until 10 o'clock, and we will be dealing with the topic, Once Saved, Always Saved. We here at TP Ministries, you could reach us at 322-6273. That's when we're off the air, any day, anytime. You could give us a call, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, where you will find some links to some nice websites that we use for studying from time to time. Also, you'll find articles written by Brother Paul and by Brother Renrick. I must also take this time now to let you know that Brother Paul writes a regular article in The Guardian on Thursdays that appears in the religious section. And I think this week he was dealing with
a given topic, the false prophets in the world. Part 5 will be coming out this week.
Yes, and I think one of these 2-hour program shows we will be dealing with how to determine a false prophet, or how can you determine if your pastor, priest, minister, reverend, bishop is a false prophet or not. The telephone numbers here are 242-300-8255. That's a toll-free number for those of you who want to call us from the Family of Islands, or those of you who want to call us here from New Providence. You can give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. We welcome any questions or comments that you might have concerning this topic. Brother Paul, you wanted to finish something that you started a few callers ago?
Yeah, what I want to say is a lot of people are not aware. Like I said earlier about us going to heaven. You see, when we get to heaven, there's going to be no rebellious people in heaven. And the Bible is quite clear that in the New World, all of God's people will come to worship with him before him on the Sabbath day. And you know, most of the controversy in Christendom, since we've been studying with people, is around the Sabbath day. I mean, once you can leave the Sabbath day issue alone, then they think all will be right. But it would not be right, ladies and gentlemen. There will be no rebellious people. I'm going to read the scripture, and you tell me what you think it's saying. Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me. The question to be asked, are we under the new heavens and new earth yet? No, my brothers and sisters. So the Bible says, whenever the new heavens and new earth are made, they will remain before the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass, says the Lord, from one new moon, or from one month to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, said the Lord. Take note, all flesh. So if you die with the attitude that you're going to Sunday church and not Sabbath church, you're not going to be there. We're dealing with the topic, once saved, always saved. All flesh will come to worship before the Lord. No rebellious people are going to be in heaven. And the answer to that, if you don't believe me, is in the next verse. And the Bible says, those who are saved, in verse 24, Isaiah 66, and they shall go forth to save, and they shall look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against the Lord. What is transgression? Transgression is sin. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorrent unto all flesh. So the Bible is quite clear that those who transgress, those who committed adultery, those who died cheating on their wives, those who died stealing from the boss, those who died cheating the government of their taxes, those who died not showing up to work on time, and you know you should be to work on time. I even believe people who reach the church late, consistently for no reason, are going to find themselves outside the kingdom of God. Because when God calls church in heaven and in the new earth, all flesh will be there and they will be on time. So the Bible is quite clear. From one Sabbath to another, all flesh should come. So you can kick and fuss and jam all you want. The record will reflect that the Lord is taking note. And that's what I love about Jesus. And this is the reason why we're going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we are lost, God forbid, at the end of time. Because it will be crystal clear. The Lord is going to write this down, that, hey, these people are lost based on their own choice. I went over and beyond trying to save them. And they said, Lord, we don't want anything to do with you, nor your Son, nor the Holy Spirit. We want to eat our own bread. We want to wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name. In other words, God, when you come, Isaiah 4, 1 I was just quoting, save us in our sins when you return. But no, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no sin in heaven. When Jesus comes to stamp that out, if you and I have sins in our life, the Bible is quite clear, our God will be a consuming fire. And that sin on us will be no more to remember at the end of time. That's a sad commentary to be said of us when Jesus paid an ultimate price for us on Calvary's cross.
Let us go to the telephone lines now. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, how are
yes,
you?
Yes, sir. All right.
Yeah, you were talking on a topic concern. I heard the topic come up saying that how do you know that your pastor is true or is not true? I noticed today you have a lot of pastors preaching money issues, and I feel that as a person, it's not really important to store up a lot of wealth and possessions. If God blesses you with those possessions, thanks to God. But sometimes he withholds things from you because he knows it may carry out the wrong road. I want you to address that, please.
Well, sir, what I was talking about was that is a topic that we're going to deal with in the future. That's all I was trying to say at that particular time. That's not a subject that we're dealing with tonight. We're dealing with once saved, always saved, or living the victorious life. But if you continue to tune in and visit our website on a regular basis, at www.tpministry.org, I think maybe our next 2-hour call-in show would be dealing with false prophet. Because normally what we do is, in quite a few occasions, the topics that Brother Paul deals with in the Guardian is some of the topics that we tackle here in our 2-hour talk show. And I think he still have a couple of more parts to write on the false prophet. So hopefully in our next program, we will be dealing with that. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So just keep tuning in. Or go on our website and give us your email, and we'll give you, we'll send you a email when we're discussing that particular topic.
Okay, thanks.
Okay? Thanks for calling. We appreciate that. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, godly evening to the Universal family, along with you all, Brother Paul and... what's your name again?
Brother Miller, Julian Miller.
Julian Miller. Julian Miller. Okay. I have a concern. You said something earlier about individual getting to church late, right? Explain that a little more for me, because I do have a comment.
That was a comment that I think Brother Paul made in his dialogue a few minutes ago. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
Pardon me.
Go ahead. No problem. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
All I'm saying is that if you're the children of God, if you can show up to work on time, by all means, you should be able to show up for church on time. You see, God is preparing us for heaven. And when all flesh come to worship before him on the Sabbath, according to Isaiah 66, we're going to be on time. If we have that attitude that we're going to stay in our bed, or we can catch it on Sunday, we're not going to be there. This is the preparation ground. There's no excuse. Just like how we be on time to get to the airport to catch the flight, we're going to be on time to get to church.
Yeah, okay, Brother Paul.
Yes, sir.
What happened, of course, this is Raymond.
Yes, I know.
I understood you. Of course, you just clarify yourself. But I understood you to say that, you know, all people must or should be to church on time.
Yes, sir.
Okay, but what I... what came in my mind is that, you know, an individual can, you know, tread the way whereby they walk, they tread the way of the Good Samaritan, in other words. You know, they may find some, they may be coming to church, right? They may be going to church. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not talking about that, Brother Bremer. I'm talking about people who are not following the Good Samaritan pathway. For example, if I'm coming to church on a Sabbath and I meet you on the side of the street and you need a ride, I'll give you a ride, even if it takes all day.
Okay.
I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those people who intentionally lay in that bed until the wee hours, and they know they will be before the Lord, worshiping before him.
Okay.
So the Lord, you know, he gives you the strength to go all week to be to work on time, but when it comes time to go before him to worship him, you're slunking around.
Okay, good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay, wonderful. Now, I want to say something pertaining to the statement in which the previous caller made. He said something about the Lord holding things from people, right? From individual, right? I don't think it's appropriate for him to say that. You see, it's the understanding how to get what the Lord has for you. That's what you need, that understanding. Because the scripture says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who give it liberally and abrade it not. In other words, he doesn't keep things back. That's what it's saying. So not only wisdom, anything you go to the Lord for, he would give to you.
You sure?
Know, he don't take things back from you, but you know what we does is that we allow, because our insufficiency and our ununderstanding, we allow the devil to come in there and take things away from us.
Thank you
very much, Brother Raymond.
Okay.
I mean, I'd just like to quickly say, I know Brother Paul is got his answer, but I just like to quickly say, it's not everything that we ask the Lord for that he just dumps on our plate. I mean, one biblical example we could give for that is the Apostle Paul. I mean, he asked and he prayed for a thorn to be removed from his flesh, but the Lord told him, I mean, the answer was no. The Lord told him that his grace, his power is sufficient for him. You know, so it's not everything that we ask the Lord for. You know, if we ask in a certain way, it just gets given to us. You know, we're not going to a candy store here. You know, but he knows the end, beginning from the end. He knows what's good for us from what's not good for us, and he knows what to give and what not to give. You know, some things that if it is given, I mean, quite frankly, it may corrupt, it may take our eyes off of him. It's just like you can draw an example similar to that of a parent. It's not everything that a child asks for the parent is just going to drop in the child's lap. You know, and I think the Bible is filled with examples that the Lord gives in His wisdom, not just because, not just simply any and everything that we ask for.
Thank you very much.
And by the way, it's also the same thing with spiritual gifts, is it not, brother?
Yes,
gentlemen?
Yes. Some are given different gifts.
That's right.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you misunderstood me. What I'm saying is that because of our understanding, the Lord said, the scripture says, we have not because we ask not. See, it's the way we need to understand how to ask and what to ask for. That's my point. Okay.
Thank you very much, Brother Raymond.
What I like to say, what Brother Raymond said is, going back to someone brought this prosperity gospel thing that is now sowing the seed stuff, right? Now, in most of these ministers who are dealing this thing with the sowing the seed thing is, they believe that once you sow tenfold, the Lord gonna bless you tenfold. I mean, if you just go to the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we'll get all the answers. In the book of Malachi, Jesus is quite clear. In the book of Malachi, He said, pay your tithes and your offerings. How much is your tithe? 10% of your income. How much is your offering? A freewill offering. He said you must put $10 to, you say, a freewill offering, and you put in your tithes. And the Bible is quite clear that once you do this, He said, the windows of heaven will pour you out a blessing. And as a matter of fact, He said, you won't even have room enough to receive it. But that's not what's being preached from the pulpit. And it just hurts my heart when I see our brothers and sisters. I mean, they work so hard. I mean, the Lord bless them with strength in order to get their wealth. Because the Bible said this comes from the Lord. He gives us wealth. And the Bible says those who don't do this, who don't pay their 10%, who don't give their free will offering, are cursed with a curse. They have robbed God, even the whole nation, the Bible said. But if there's anyone today that I believe truly is robbing the people, it's ministers who are not teaching the people the truth about salvation, teaching them that in Jesus Christ, all of their needs are supplied. If the Bible says, if you and I will seek God's first in His kingdom and His right, all the things that are needed shall be added unto us. But here again, not the things we want, but the things that we need shall be added unto us. So, I mean, we can't say it over, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things you'd be stressed on Turning Point is for you to study, to show yourself approved unto God. Many of our brothers and sisters are being taken advantage of. I know I have a very dear friend that works in one of our local banks, and he tells me people be coming to the bank to try to borrow money to put a wind in the church or try to add pieces onto the church. And you have to tell them, say, man, based on your salary, you can't afford this. You know, if you really want to help the church, then why don't you try to save a little something every week of your salary to help the church? And he have to tell them, no, you know, I'm sorry, I can't give you the loan, because he realized if he should do that, he would cause the bank to be out of funds. Because based on the surrounding of the nature of the person who really wanted to borrow, they're stretched out to the limit. But in some way, they're convinced by their minister that if they should just sow a seed in this ministry, they will be blessed. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is quite clear. God lays the principle down in Malachi. It's not changed. Bring a 10% of your income and a free will offering. For example, if you're making $100 a week, God only expects you to give $10 out of that. If He impresses upon you that you should put 20, then so be it. But He only looking for $10, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. And a free will offering could be 1 cent. It could be a penny. It could be $5. It could be just $1. It could be 50 cents. The Lord knows if your giving is sincere or not. That's what He's looking at, the sincerity of your giving. And if you're sincere, at the end of the day, if you just want to put $11 out of your $100, God is happy about that. And He's going to use that to do what is supposed to be done if the ministers are using it correctly. This is one thing that I love about our church, the Seventh Adventist Church, that, you know, our ministers get paid the same salary just about almost across the board. They don't get no extra money because, you know, this one have a big church or this one have a small church, and any time they can be put from one church and move to the other. As a matter of fact, in our church, the deacons can rob the church quicker than the ministers of the gospel, because they don't even see the money. They only get a report from the deacons, which give a report to the church treasurer, and the church treasurer give a report to the minister, where it went down. And see, and this is the reason why a lot of churches need to be held accountable. Held accountable not only for the true gospel to be preached, but how they deal with the funds that God has blessed them with for the preaching of the gospel. That's all it's for, ladies and gentlemen. You know, just the other day, a gentleman asked me what I think about a minister having 5 cars. You know, but ladies and gentlemen, why should your minister want to have 5 cars? And the gospel need to be preached. The gospel, the truth about one save, always save. The truth about the secret rapture. The truth about what happens when one dies in their sins. The truth about what happens when someone dies in Christ or out of Christ. Where do they go? I mean, we have ministers in Nassau that are preaching the gospel in an unknown tongue and won't preach the gospel in a known tongue. I mean, it just baffles me. It just blows my mind. And then you pull these ministers on the side in the spirit of the Lord and the meekness of Christ to ask them, you know, why is it you're doing the things you're doing? Why are you conducting yourself this way? They don't have an answer. It just, you know, I often tell people, you know, if I had the will, and I'm going to say this humbly and meekly, if I had the will, I would love to put all ministers on death row. You know why? Because there are going to be more of us in hell because someone said something with you that was not right. Because the Bible, Jesus says it, but he said the blind eat the blind, both will fall in the ditch. So what this means is that if the members of Turning Point are sharing things that are not true, and you're following us hook, line, and sinker, that means the three of us will be in hell, and also those who are following us, because we are following a false gospel. This is how serious it is. And the men on death row, I like to bring them home with me on one condition. Are we going to study the Bible, young men? Are we going to study the Bible, young women? And I'm sure if the gospel that took root in our lives take root in their lives, like the apostles, the Lord can use us to turn the world upside down. That's all I'm saying. Let's put them on death row. But do you think they'll be willing to go on death row? For example, the Bible tells us, if I'm caught in adultery, I should be stoned to death. Under the old Mosaic law, where the Lord said, we are under what is known as a theocracy government. But today, once saved, always saved doctrine is teaching me, if I'm in an adulterous affair, because my wife don't have a sexual relationship with me, I'm going to still be saved. You know, I just needed some, you know, and because she won't give it to me, I'm free to go with her. No, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says these fornication adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. If I'm caught in bed with my neighbor's wife, there's no way I can have the grace of Christ and the power of Christ resting upon me. I'm in my sins, and to hell I will go. This is real, ladies and gentlemen. That's why, I mean, study, ladies and gentlemen, study, study, study. Put your test, put your church and your minister and the members of Turning Point to the test. If you're talking nonsense, then do away with us. I disclaim my Z-ness went like this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saying something wrong, come to Mr. Anthony Foster and order our program off air. This is how serious we take it. We would rather be off air than to be here spewing lies to you, ladies and gentlemen. Z-ness told us, whatever we say, make sure you have your facts to back it up. So what do we use? We use the Bible, we use church history, and we use world history. We combine the three together to get the clear understanding of what God has for his people in this time in which we live. We also tell you that the history does not dictate to the Bible. The Bible dictates the history. Simply put, God writes it, history plays it out. And here we are, just on the brink of eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, we are playing church. And I often tell people, sometimes the only reason why I put one behemoth in heaven is because the Bible says there are going to be people from every nation. So let's get together, ladies and gentlemen. Let's study the Bible to show ourselves the proof that when Christ comes, we will not be found wanting.
Just to quickly back up, you know, The last caller brought up the issue of receiving blessings. I think it's a bit sad in this day and age that, you know, we often link being blessed of the Lord with receiving some sort of financial or monetary gain. You know, being blessed from the Lord means so much more than that. You know, we're blessed with good health. How many of us have a fully functioning mind today where we're able to think and reason, able to walk and talk and breathe fresh air, not laying up in a hospital bed, sucking oxygen? How many of us are blessed with children or a spouse? You know, there are so many blessings that we receive from the Lord, and our eyes shouldn't only be fixed on the financial gain. If we're not getting that money, that extra money in, or that car or something like that, then, you know, we're not really being blessed. That's not the case. You know, the Lord is blessing us abundantly in so many ways and so many that we take for granted.
Amen.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good night.
Good night, sir.
Yes, I called to clarify a point and actually state the truth. Jesus Christ died once. He arose once, according to the scriptures. And according to the Bible, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you can never lose your salvation. Because if you could lose your salvation, that means Christ would have to come back and die for all of us, because all of us are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So when you are a believer and you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can never lose your salvation. You can always turn and come back to God. Because if you don't believe in once saved, always saved, you're saying that what Jesus did was a lie, it is not true. And then to talk about you don't believe with the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, tying together, you don't believe that. And on top of that, you don't believe the Scripture, because the Scripture clearly states, for as many as receive unto them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And it is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Well, I just want to before you go, I just want to ask you one or two questions before you go. You go ahead and finish your thought. Sorry for breaking in. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Ask the question.
But I'd like to ask a question, caller. If once we receive Christ, if we could never lose our salvation and we stray, then what's the point of turning back? Why not just keep going on that straight path if we are sure that our salvation is not lost?
No, see, when you're born in sin, you're shaping iniquity. And so every day, if you fall into sin, the Lord loves it, he chastens. So if you're in a backslidden condition as a Christian, the Lord will chasten you to come back to your first love.
But what if you die in a backsliding position?
If you die in a backsliding position and you truly confess and ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you, you will go into heaven.
I mean, you don't have the time to confess. You just die in a, you're not a chance to confess or anything. You just died in a position. What will happen?
You'll go to heaven if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior.
You
wouldn't rule in the kingdom, and you wouldn't have things that you could be controlled over in the kingdom, but you would make it into heaven because you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior.
Let me ask a question then, brother. I didn't get your name, but anyhow, there are a couple of people who are paying the Bible, and if you explain to me, then maybe you might have a point. The first one was Saul, right? The second one was Judas. And the scripture told us that Judas worked miracles. And we know that Judas was a disciple of Jesus. Are you saying that Judas was saved? Hello?
If Judas went out there, I know he hanged himself, and he truly, truly, truly believed and had confessed his sins and Jesus was the Son of God, if he committed suicide, he would still go to heaven.
You know, this gospel which you're preaching is a sweet gospel, but you know, it's another gospel, you know.
No, it ain't another gospel, it's from the Word of God.
Okay, caller, caller.
That ain't nothing.
Caller.
This ain't no sweet gospel.
Caller.
The Bible says,
I got you one more question.
And I will answer thee and show you great and mighty wonders.
Let me ask you one question then, caller. Caller, you still there?
I'm still here, I ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Could you then explain Ezekiel 18:24 to us?
Ezekiel 18:24.
Yeah.
I don't have my Bible in front of me.
All right. But what to do? You tell what to do. Find your Bible and call us back.
No, I ain't gonna call you back. Cause see what you like. I'm,
no, no.
We can read it on air.
What does it say? Ezekiel? What does it say?
Ezekiel 18:24 says, "But when the righteousness turneth away from his righteousness and committed iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned in his trespass that he has trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die."
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. So, what is your point?
That's why I asked you to get your Bible so you could read it, then you could enlighten us, that's all.
No, what is your point?
No.
The point is, the prophet Ezekiel said, if you should go back on your righteousness and you go and commit iniquity, you will die in your sins. That's the point.
Listen, if you die, because all of us, so you're saying every day, you have to go back to the Lord, ask the Lord, come into my heart and save me. Come into my heart and save me.
Were you listening to the program from the beginning, caller?
I heard part of your program.
Okay, see, then what we'll do, if you care, we'll make a copy of the CD for you after the show is over.
No.
You can feel free to call us at 322-6273. And if you come up with something different to show us otherwise, you'll be a guest on Turning Point.
You've got to line up to the Word of God.
Brother,
you've got to line
brother,
up to the Word of God. You
we are open,
up
brother.
To the Holy Scripture of God. Once saved, it's always saved. You will never lose your salvation.
Sir, you will never
lose your salvation.
Yeah, but sir,
we got that.
But sir, what we offered for you was, like you said, you didn't listen to the program.
Once we
were willing to make a copy of the CD, give it to you, and then come and deal with us. But that's what we're asking you to come and show us where the error is, sir.
And you're all on error.
But we're asking you to come and show us where the error is.
See, you don't talk this.
Anyhow, let's go.
Have a good night.
Okay, brother.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, referring to what that caller said, I don't believe that caller really read his Bible. Because he actually said, when you draw the text of saying Judas, he means to say that if Judas hang himself, that means Judas still will enter into heaven.
Now, you heard him correctly. That's what he said.
But I don't agree with that. I don't agree with what he's saying. And he shows me clearly that he don't really study his Bible. Because that means, right, you're a Christian. You do something. You hang yourself, right? You commit suicide. That's a sin against God, right? And and you cannot enter the, to the kingdom in heaven like that. And another point too. Now, all right. You were a Christian, even though you were, what are you saying that you were saved, and I mean, once saved and always saved. If you commit a sin and do not ask God, to forgive you, that means that sin, what you've done, is still hold accountable to you.
Amen.
That's right.
Because, all right, we it's not an easy road, right? But that's where grace, comes in, because you could have another chance to ask forgiveness for that sin which you do. But if you never ask forgiveness for that sin is still accountable to you.
That's right.
That's the gospel. And I'm a sinner, and I know that. And I don't know where he get his doctrine from. But y'all are on the right path. You see what I'm saying? Because in no way in the world, that's why, and another point that I have to say, that's why when Christ came, Christ said he came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. When he's, I'm meaning by that, because some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were holding up the law, right? But they were still doing things that me and you couldn't see. So Jesus say, use an illustration. He say, if you look upon a woman, even though you holding up the law, you might say, look here, hey, I ain't committed adultery with that girl, right? Fine, I ain't committed sin. But Jesus say, guess what? If you look at that woman and you lust at her in your mind, but me and you, as flesh can't see, you are guilty, of committing adultery. You see what I'm saying?
That's so, right, and you're not a preacher, sir?
Huh?
Are you a preacher, sir?
Man, I'm a sinner, man. I mean, when I say I'm a sinner, I'm not trying to boldly say that, right? But see, I know if you want to serve the Lord, you got to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Right?
And if you ain't about to do that, you're wasting your time. Because like the Lord said, many will come to him and say, look here, have we cast out demons? Have we do this in your name? You know what God can tell you? Man, look here, depart from me, because I know you not, workers of iniquity. You see what I'm saying?
And they were Christians.
And they were Christians. You see what I'm saying? And
thank you very much, caller.
All right.
Thank you very, very much.
All right.
Go ahead, line one.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm listening to your show, and I heard the other two callers. And I'm watching how when a person disagrees with what you got to say, you come across as very demeaning, as if to say, I am smarter than you. There was no humility whatsoever in understanding the fact that somebody doesn't see your point of view. Stop the straw man tactic.
Caller,
attack the message, not
caller,
the person.
Caller,
don't
before you go.
Hold
on, caller. No, don't hang up.
I'm not going to hang up. I know you. You're cutting me off.
I'm not cutting you off. I'm gonna let you talk when I'm finished. This is what I want to say. If you were listening carefully, I told the caller, I said, caller, your point might be correct. What we would do, first I asked him, I said, were you listening for the show from the beginning? He said, no.
You
I said, what I'll do for
on
you.
Phone, on
hold on, sir, let me finish. I'm going to let you talk. We still have some more time. I said, I'll make you copies of the CD, let you listen to the CDs, then we'll sit down with you, and if your message is right, then we'll come back and retract what we are saying. Go ahead, sir.
You see how you sound just now? You didn't sound like that on the radio a little while ago. Okay? You just didn't. And as far as I'm concerned, that's the problem with the church right now. It doesn't seem to be able to have a debate without people starting to attack one another and start to call names. And that's foolishness. You're supposed to have a debate, and if you disagree with a person, do it in an amicable way. Okay?
What names would be...
The world looks at Christians and see how they carry on about things like this.
What names would be calling?
Clowns.
What names would be calling?
Pardon?
What names would be calling?
No. How you talk to the gentleman?
No, we ask him. We ask him to explain the text, and we ask him. We told him
some street gospel.
No,
you didn't say that.
No, we didn't say no street gospel.
You didn't say that. Let's move.
No, we never.
Let's move right along. You say you didn't say it.
No,
then you didn't say it.
Again, we'll offer you the tape and listen to it again to see if it's true.
You say you're a Christian. Let's say that you've been serving God 25 years solid. You won't messing up. You serving God. One day you're driving down the street. And you see the street-looking guy walk past, you say, mother sick, I would do something, but then, bam, you hit an accident, you're dead. You can tell me after all them years of serving God, you can boy tail wide open?
Yes.
That is the uttermost nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
That's,
because you're trying to say that God can't save you everlasting. Jesus said he gave you everlasting. Do you know the word everlasting means? Forever and ever and ever. If you truly confess your sins and come to Jesus, you're saved. Okay? You might fall, but the Spirit of God will lead you back. If not, God will remove you of the earth himself, because he said you're a stumbling block. But you as a man to tell me that you could comprehend the loving power of God and that Jesus Christ, once he died, has to die again for you. Once Jesus shed his blood once, that sins would cover the past and the future and the present.
Sir.
We're talking about God himself who died, you know, not me or you or Joe around the block, you know.
Sir.
Okay? So don't make light or make sport of the fact that, okay then, oh, I get saved and tomorrow I walk around, I sin, boom, I fall down there, I go to hell. Then you make Jesus a liar. You tried to bring up the illustration with Judas. Oh, well, if Judas did this, but there's man, devil who worked miracles, man. Come on with that foolishness. The devil could wake miracles.
But my, okay? my point was, when I brought up Judas, was not that the devil worship. We know that Judas was a follower of Christ. And my point was, if Judas followed Christ,
there are a lot of people that follow Christ.
Sir, you have to let, you know, we allow you to talk, but you got to let us talk too, at least, you know. We're trying to share the mic a little bit. My point about bringing Judas was, and Saul too, I mentioned Saul, that both Saul and Judas, as far as we know, accepted the message of Christ.
Saul accepted the message of Christ. Didn't know
right.
Judas
now,
with Jesus and Jesus
now
him,
we know that based on the end of their lives, that they did, as far as we know, the end of their lives, they were not in tune with Christ. So my question to the caller was, do you think that they will go to heaven? That's all my question was.
My question to you is, I believe Saul was saved.
Okay then. That's fine.
My question to Judas.
That's fine.
Sorry.
Okay.
Like I said before, Jesus allowed everybody to walk around and he turned nobody away.
That's true.
For you to receive, Jesus don't force salvation down nobody's throat, you know.
Okay.
Man is a free moral agent. He has
yes,
the
sir.
Right to decide if he wants to live for God, if not. And if he doesn't, his pathway is hell. But if he chooses Jesus, he got him. And if he missed a mess up once in a while, God will bring him back because in his heart, he will be drawn back to the master. If you're truly saved. Now, if you're not truly saved, you can do a bunch of fooling. You ain't going to care for nothing in the world. But if you are truly saved, you ain't going to never fall back and say, you can say, mother sick boy, really doing wrong. That's a small, still voice that always pulls you back straight to God. You understand me? Because that's true salvation.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, the last three callers you all had on, especially the one before the last and the last one particularly, those young men are sincere with what they're saying, but those guys need to go and take the Bible and kneel down in a closet by themselves and pray and ask the Lord to anoint them with the Holy Spirit and move their eyes of, anoint their eyes with eyes of that they may see and understand the scriptures, because what those men run on with is they're not wrong, but they are ignorant of the fact that they do not understand and know the scriptures. And you got to blame the ministers of the gospel, the so-called ministers of the gospel, who have the radio airwaves every day, every Sunday, every day of the week, who preaching a false doctrine to these young men, making them believe that when they die in their sins, that they could go to heaven. That's why when you go to funerals today here, everybody go to heaven, nobody is going to hell. But when people die, they don't go to hell nor heaven, they go in the grave, but they tell you, when Jesus comes, they will go to heaven. That's why Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing and inwardly they are ravening wolves. And most of our ministers today are false prophets, and I can say that categorically because the scriptures bear out. They do not preach according to the law of the testimony. They do not preach according to the spirit of the Lord. They do not preach according to the testimony of Jesus at all. All they preach about is money, wealth. On the news this evening, they show you two ministers who, instead of preparing their people for the kingdom of heaven, they're preparing them for houses to live here in this world forever. And I'd like to let the caller know, I know the one who spoke about Judas, I know him very well. Judas will not be in heaven. Jesus made abundantly clear that whosoever betrayed the Son of Man, it would be better for him if he had put a millstone around his neck and tossed himself into the ocean. So Judas would not be in heaven. If Judas be in heaven, then God is a liar. And God does not lie. God tells the truth. You see, but we must learn to, we must all get the scriptures and state the scriptures for ourselves. How could I live in sin and do everything I want to do that is wrong, have no regard for the word of God, no regard for Christ, and when I die, I could expect to go to heaven? Jesus said in the book of Revelation that outside of the kingdom of heaven will be dogs, whoremongers, sorcerers, drunkards, gamblers, all will be outside the kingdom. They ain't gonna be there. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, caller. We have a lot of callers on the line. We need to move on. We're almost out of time.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Yes, you got to make it short. We only got a couple of minutes left.
Yes, this is Joseph calling. This is Brother Smith. I appreciate you all preaching the truth as it is in Jesus. And I bid all the callers, they could read 2 Peter chapter 2 as to how God feels about sin. The Bible is very clear. The good news, as you said at the beginning of the program, is that God does not want any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we all need the Lord in order to be saved. If we go our own way without Christ, we will not be saved. And it is as simple as that.
Thank you very much, Brother Smith.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the caller was saying that that he means that Ben, because you're a Christian and you sin, that means Jesus Christ has to go back on the cross and die again. But that's not the case, because that's why grace is abound. Because if you sin, then that's where you could ask God for forgiveness to cleanse you from that sin.
Amen.
But you just can't be making that same sin and saying, man, look here, already lust at this girl and look here, I can lust at this girl and here too, and no cleansing of that sin. That means you're stuck with that sin. That means that's a problem which you have. And if you can't see that, you'll never be cleansed of that sin.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yes, sir.
It ain't about Jesus got to die on the cross again. That's where grace is. Comes in. Because if you sin, you automatically have to ask God for forgiveness because you sin. And especially if you know that what you did was a sin. You see what I'm saying? Now, I could see him saying that he didn't, because sometimes you don't know if you sin. So if he didn't know that he committed a sin, it would not be whole. I think it would not be whole against him. But if he know that if he lusts at this girl down the road and he know that's a sin, oh, Jesus ain't worrying about that sin, man. That girl just look good. That's what he's saying. So he meaning that Jesus would tolerate his foolishness. I don't think so, because Jesus is the truth, the light. You know what I mean? And if you come by the light, you must be coming by the darkness. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, sir. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm calling from Eleuthera.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard you said something about Saul and Judah.
Yes, ma'am.
But please remember now, Saul was changed, right?
I didn't get that? Sorry.
Saul, S-A-U-L.
Was what?
Saul was changed to Paul.
No. Not that. No.
What you meaning?
We're talking about Saul, King Saul.
King Saul?
In the Old Testament, yes, ma'am.
You read that in 1 Samuel chapter 15.
That's the Saul we're talking about. Not the Apostle Paul. No, man.
How many Sauls was it?
Two. One in the Old Testament and one in the New. And one we were referring to is the one in the Old Testament. You can read it in First Samuel
chapter 15.
But I do read it now. I do read it.
Yes, ma'am.
I apologize if...
No problem, ma'am.
...talking about the other Saul, because
no, ma'am.
I know that Saul was changing the Paul, one of the greatest missionaries ever created in the world.
Yes, ma'am. We know that.
Oh,
amen.
Okay.
You're right on, Mom. Yeah.
No problem.
What you read in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Saul was rejected from being king, and the Lord rejected him because he did not take out the mission of the Lord.
I understand.
And it's
that.
A sad state. I mean, I hope God it don't ever happen to any of us under the sound of our voices tonight.
I understand.
That the Lord went over and beyond to try to save the brother, and the Lord told him exactly what to do, and he decided that he would have done something else.
But what I would like for you to do?
Yes, ma'am.
Be patient. Some could explain themselves and some can't.
Yes, ma'am.
And just listen to them good. You know, some are very well versed with scriptures and some are not. So you have to be
long-suffering.
Be careful how you talk to some and just be patient with them.
Yes, ma'am.
And you all have a good evening.
You too, ma'am. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Well, for a minute there I thought that... But anyhow, well... I'm sorry that persons might have taken some of the things that we said the wrong way. But on behalf of Turning Point and Turning Point Ministries, I would like to apologize. And if you want a face-to-face apology, you could give us a call at 322-6273. And if you want us to come and apologize, we will do that. Because with the things that we say, we have no ill feelings. And one of the things that we believe is that we don't necessarily know everything. And that's why we ask people and we give out our numbers, our telephone numbers, our email addresses. Because if we are saying anything that might be contrary, we like to get the rebuke. Because when I go back to work this afternoon, tomorrow morning, for those persons listening to the program, they will rebuke me and say, if I said anything wrong, they will rebuke me. So we are willing to take your rebuke. And like I said, on behalf of Turning Point Ministries, I want to apologize for anything that anybody might have taken wrong. We are very, very sorry. Now, we got 9 more minutes. We can take a few more calls. The telephone numbers are, from the Family of Islands, 242-300-8255. Or for you who want to call in Nassau, you can give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. One save, always save. One save, always save. Living the victorious life. Brother Paul, Brother Renwick, I think most of the callers have made mention the fact that in this Christian journey, we do sin. That's how it seems. All right? Why is that? Why do we find ourselves sinning in the first place?
Well, the Bible tells us quite clearly that whenever we are tempted, let no man say they are tempted of God. And every man sins when he is drawn away after his own lust. So right off the bat, the Lord said, the Apostle Paul tells us that if you are sinning, don't say your wife caused it, or your husband caused it, or your boss caused it, or your enemy caused it. The Bible says you caused it upon yourself. You sin when you are drawn away after your own lust. And if you die in your sins, according to the scriptures, you will be lost. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, For if it is impossible for those who once were enlightened, having tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God, and the power of the world to come, if they should fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified the Son of God afresh, and have left him to open shame. So the Bible says, it is impossible for us once who we are enlightened, that we should go on to live that sinful life once again. We put the Lord to open shame. That's what I was saying to you all, saying to you all and ourselves earlier today. That when we sin, we put Christ to open shame. And people be trying to figure out, you know, who is it that we really is our leader? Is it God or is it really Satan? It must be Christ and no one else.
Yes, caller, go ahead.
Good night.
Yes, sir.
Ernie Coley.
Yes, sir.
I just would like to say, your show tonight, your talk show, podcast, it was nice tonight. And Adam, like the callers, they come on to you and think, it wasn't all right. You see what I'm saying? He was judging you and think. The Bible says you don't judge people and you don't worry about what people doing and think. I was wrong and think, you see? And I think about that. And I didn't like that. And as a person, I read my Bible and pray every day and think. People, like how I is, right? They call me Rasta and think, you see? And they read me and think. I don't eat conch and think. I need to eat fish. Well, they don't like that and think. Is we read me and can on with they like to ridicule people and criticize rosters and things and call people and things.
Just be encouraged, my brother. You know, remember they said the same thing about our Savior. They crucify him. God love everybody. He doesn't discriminate.
Right.
He loves whatever your background may be or whatever you're into. He loves you with an everlasting love. As a matter of fact, he loves you so much, he loves you as if you were the only person on the planet. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that includes everybody.
Yes, sir. But out of this, right, I just read my Bible and pray every day. I tell you, God helped me so much.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I just going through some hard times and time. And I just keep on coming to God and things stop during my sinful things and then.
Amen.
And he brought me back. And I was so happy. Now I'm so happy, I feel normal, and I keep on thanking God for every little thing.
Amen.
I don't care what it is.
Amen.
I say amen, thank you, hallelujah. people just be saying, "This nigga dealing with Jazz." I used to be saying, I don't even be worrying.
Sometimes I used to be
in the bathroom, right, singing all type songs and things, right? People would be asking what type songs and things I used to be singing, right, laughing and things. At the time, I used to be telling them I used to sing in the garden thing.
Amen.
They don't believe that, but I used to keep on showing God how much he means, what he means to me, man. And every time I look at trees and the sky and things, everything, I used to be happy and then I say, "God, God is magnificent." Especially when I think about the sun, like every drop of sun, God know how much it is all over the world. That's magnificent.
All right, caller.
Yeah.
Thank you. You have a nice evening.
All right.
Thanks for calling. We have about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. If you want to contact us here at TP Ministries, Turning Point Ministries, you can call us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org. I know some of the things that might have been said over the air this evening, you might disagree with or you might agree with. If you want to comment off the air, like I said, you could give us a call, write us, email us. We'd be willing to talk with you, come and visit your home or wherever you want to. We are a self-supporting ministry, and any assistance that you could give us in prayers, our financial donations, will be greatly appreciative. Let's go back to the phone line, line 3. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello.
Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Good night.
Thank you very much, sir.
And that we say amen, amen. And notice he said, he that overcome it. Overcome it what? Overcome sin. Not overcoming and going back and then overcoming. And no, you are to the point where you have overcome all sin, and you have come to the point where you prefer to die than to sin. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it doesn't say it once, but it says it twice. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of those ways are death. The Bible is quite clear. If we ever come to the conclusion that the Lord can save us in our sin, whatever sin it might be, or whatever excuse we think we want to give, then that means all the people that were destroyed in the days of Noah will also have to be saved. That means Cain, who only brought some fruits, for some reason he might have justified, "I don't want to see no blood." So he brought some fruits. And we know Cain is going to be lost. As a matter of fact, the Lord came to Cain trying to ask Cain, why was he upset? And moments later, Cain began to, when he went to talk to his brother. Moments later, after talking to his brother, he killed his brother. And God came to him and asked, "Where's your brother?" He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" See, we have to go to the Bible, or the Bible says all the things that are in the Bible are written for our example, who the ends of the world are come. And if the Lord is going to save us in our sin, whatever the sin might be, it have to be of sale of the rest of those who were before us. And those who have come before us, they also can be saved in their sin. And the thing about it, if the Lord cannot keep us from falling, like he said in the book of Jude, he had that one chapter in Jude to be written, "Now in him that is able to keep you and I from falling to possess us faultless." If that is true, then why are we sinning? What it is that you love so much about sin that you want some loophole here just in case you do sin? And that's why the Apostle John wrote, "My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not." But if you sin, not when you sin, but another thing we need to realize is that the heaven door is going to soon be closed. So we need to ask ourselves, are we in right standing with God before the day too late? We need to be standing on the sure word of God, because the foundation of God standeth sure, and the Lord know them that are his.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our show now. We want to thank all the callers. We want to thank the producers. We want to thank everybody who had anything to do with this program this afternoon. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again, O God, for another opportunity and a privilege for us to come before you. We want to thank you for this program. Lord, we know for that your word went forth, and your word does not go forth for naught. But Lord, give those who have heard your word the power and the strength to move in the right direction, that they may see your face when you burst the clouds of heaven. Is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, our Turning Point Ministries aired here each Sunday at 2 o'clock on ZNS 1540. We are here each Sunday at 2. And what we try to do once every month, we try to have a live two-hour call-in show. This is our first one for the year. God's willing, we'll be back next month with another live call-in show. So continue to stay tuned to the regular broadcast that airs every Sunday at 2. And once again, if you care to meet us, read us, our telephone number is 322 6273. And don't forget to visit our website at www.tpministries.org. Until next week, or until next time, I should say, when we have another live Turning Point Live present, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
And Randall Crowe.
And this is Julia Miller. May God richly bless you.
Voice of the Bahamas.